In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Well, good morning to you. Right now, we're going to talk about sacred work with Peggy Bodie. It's a Christian woman's guide to leadership in the marketplace. And Peggy is an entrepreneur and the founder of Sacred Work, which is an organization that provides free career and leadership support for Christian women who are working. And she spent 25 years as a corporate executive and then pivoted to start a freelance writing business. She's not busy at all. And her clients include marketing firms and major textbook publishers. Her passions are writing about the intersection between faith and work. Good morning to you, Peggy.
Good morning, Tom and Tabby.
And Peggy, if I could just ask this, I heard a rumor that you are actually a University of Tennessee Chattanooga UTC mock. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. Proudly so.
Wow. Okay, so what year did you... I'm just joking.
That's not nice.
We think that's awesome, even though you live in Colorado now, that you're from the kind of the North Georgia area.
Yes, it's a small world.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Peggy, let me just get started by asking this question, because every book really has an underlying story, a reason behind it, and even the title of the book and what you do, Sacred Work. What's the heart of what you are sharing with women right now?
Well, the heart of what I'm sharing is that our work matters to God because we matter to God. And, you know, even though we sometimes compartmentalize ourselves or even God, He doesn't live in a compartment labeled sacred. He lives in us, and we carry the sacredness that comes from Him everywhere we go, including the workplace. So my message is that your work absolutely matters to God.
I love that. Sometimes women may not feel that their careers are as important as maybe men's, you know, and so you say it's important for women leaders to know that sometimes if they even have that imposter syndrome, that they're not worthy maybe to be in positions, that there's some things they can do about that.
That is true. And I'm glad you're talking about imposter syndrome, Tabby, because that is something, it's the number one thing that women still struggle with. So there's a few things they can do. And the first one is to write a scripture affirming who God says you are, not who people or the world or even the faith community says you are. Don't put yourself in that box. Who does God say you are? Put that scripture where you can see it every day. You know, for example, mine was always Romans 8:37. And all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So when I started feeling insecure, that verse would remind me that I'm loved and victorious. Another easy thing women can do is keep a file of their professional achievements. And when doubts about their abilities start creeping in, read through that file and that silence the negative talk in our brains.
Peggy Bodie is our special guest right now, and she's written a book, and it's titled Sacred Work. And Peggy, first of all, thank you again for being here with us on Mornings with Tom and Tabby. You started to unpack this idea of the imposter syndrome and understanding that premise, and then also you talk about leaders and new leaders specifically, they tend to maybe shy away from conflict. What advice would you give them in the marketplace?
Well, the first piece of advice I would give is to depersonalize it. So conflict in the workplace is normal. It's to be expected. You know, it's going to happen between coworkers, departments, managers, leaders. Depersonalize it and accept it as part of the job. And then the second thing is, think of conflict management as a conversation, because that's what it is. Don't be overwhelmed by it. Take a step back, identify the outcome you want, and then frame the conversation around it. And then I tell them, don't procrastinate, even though that's super tempting to do. Don't procrastinate dealing with it, because the longer you wait, the bigger the conflict grows, and that negatively impacts the work environment and your reputation as a leader. And the last thing I say is that, remember, it's your job. New leaders especially want to do a good job. So I remind them that managing conflict is part of what they're paid to do as a leader. And I also reassure them that, like other responsibilities, it will get easier with time, because you'll get more adept and experienced.
Okay, thank you for talking about conflict. I just had a conversation with a friend yesterday about this very thing. This person's boss actually deflected conflict resolution to her, and she didn't feel like that was her place. And I think when you are a leader who can handle conflict, it helps your the people under you kind of relax a little bit. But I think sometimes for women, we are can be a little bit more people-pleasing, and so that makes it even harder for us to deal with it.
I think you're right, especially Christian women. I've had them say that it feels like they're being unkind, but not being truthful in addressing what is our responsibility to address, mm-hmm. and letting other employees suffer is more unkind than speaking the truth in love.
Say that.
Yeah, I love that you had brought that up, because sometimes we fall into the trap of believing as a Christian, our primary goal is to be nice, but yet he's called us to different things. The best thing we can do as a leader is to lead, and sometimes you need to lead through conflict. I just love that you're talking about this. You're hearing the voice of Peggy Bodie. She's written a book called Sacred Work. And let me ask this, because you bring about this phrase called the perspective gap. Talk about that a little bit and maybe what leaders can do to actually bridge that gap.
So one of the things that leaders have to manage besides conflict is change. And I think that the perspective gap happens when there's a big difference between how leaders see change and how employees see change. So, you know, what usually happens is leaders decide really big things, like we're going to rebrand the company, we're going to go into new markets, we're going to move. You know, we're going to change software systems, and they can't control how excited they are about it. But then when the workers, the employees find out, they're skeptical, you know, they're suspicious, they're worried. So these two viewpoints completely contradict each other, and that creates a lot of friction, which threatens relationships, but also an effective outcome when you're leading a big change. One simple thing leaders can do is to be empathetic. You know, a little empathy goes a long way, and one easy way to do that is to think back to your first job. You know, remember what it was like when you were an hourly employee and people were making decisions around you that you weren't privy to early in the process. So a little empathy goes a long way.
Okay, so empathy goes a long way. And okay, so there's another thing. Thinking about empathy, we have on the table here in our modern world the topic of diversity, and that means a lot of different things to different people. But diversity, equity, and inclusion is controversial. And why is that? And how should Christians deal with it?
It is controversial because people are so passionate about what it means, what it doesn't mean, whether it's effective or not, if it's even necessary. People have very passionate viewpoints about it. So leaders inside and outside the Christian community rarely agree on the best way to manage it. It's complicated and messy. There's no, you know, one easy way to deal with it. And I think Christians especially need to care about it, because we're all created equally in God's image. So if we see that people outside our own demographic aren't being treated fairly or equally, it's our responsibility to model and create change. You know, change doesn't happen when the only ones advocating for it are the ones impacted by it. We have to step into that mess. We can't pretend it doesn't exist.
I like that.
Yeah, you're talking about leadership from a leader's perspective, and I absolutely love this, Peggy. You're talking about dealing with the things that leaders have to deal with. They have to deal with change. They have to deal with conflict. They have to deal with it not just from the top down, but from the bottom up to understand what those changes bring about. And sometimes as leaders, you're trying to implement change. You're doing things as a leader, but sometimes you blow it. So as a leader, if you make a mistake, what are some of the hardest types of those mistakes for leaders to recover from, and how can their faith in the Lord actually help them through it?
That's a great question. So speaking for myself and other leaders that I've mentored over the years, I think the hardest mistakes to recover from are the ones involving people or personnel issues, because when we fail the people we lead, we know that we affect their work life and their personal life. So that kind of failure starts making us wonder if we're even worthy to lead or to steward other people. But that's when our faith helps us, because when we read God's word and spend time with him, we're reminded he didn't call us to lead because we're worthy. His power stands in that gap when our unworthiness causes us to fall short. You know, he says in his word, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." So that those verses and the whole redemption story just reminds us that God wants us to fail forward. He's more about reclaiming and redeeming than keeping score, and that can help us recover from those hard mistakes.
All right, so you're hearing from Peggy Bodie. She's written Sacred Work, A Christian Woman's Guide to Leadership in the Marketplace. This is such a great conversation. Of course, it's for A Christian Woman's Guide to Leadership, but I think men can benefit from the things you're teaching as well in this work.
Yeah, absolutely. And Peggy, let me ask you one last question as our time is kind of winding down. Say there's a woman in the workplace that needs to hear a special message. What is that message that's on your heart that you would like to communicate to her this morning?
What I would like to say, and I can't say this enough, is that your work matters to God. God's word is relevant to your work, and your work is relevant to God. So just remember that.
Okay, Peggy, thank you so much. Peggy Bodie here on Mornings with Tom and Tabby.